In our last study, we were noticing how Paul and his company were guided in the matter of their being led into a field of service. And we noticed how they were led to go across into Macedonia, into the country of Greece, in the continent of Europe, and to begin a missionary work in an entirely new area. And now, in chapter 16, beginning at verse 11, we can see something of how Paul proceeded. And it is very important to us to notice the plan he used, the strategy that he followed, as he went forward into a new part of the country to carry on his gospel preaching. Reading in verse 11 and 12, we find that words like this, "Therefore, loosing from Troas, we came with a straight course to Samothracia, and the next day to Neapolis, and from thence to Philippi, which is the chief city of that part of Macedonia and a colony, and we were in that city abiding certain days." Now that's the simple record the way it reads in the book. But what do you see in that? You find that Paul moved along to the chief city. He went to the most important place, the central place of influence. He went to the chief city of that part of Macedonia and a colony. Now, that saying that it's a colony would mean that there were Roman citizens there. If you will remember your history of that time in the world, you will remember that the city of Rome, with the Roman government out from there, controlled the whole known world. The whole Sea of the Mediterranean, together with all the countries around its borders, were under Roman control, including the land of Greece. Now, as this Roman government extended its authority all over the known world, they would send out from Rome certain groups of Roman citizens who would settle down in some of these colonies, in some of these captured lands. And wherever a group of Roman citizens settled down as immigrants in a certain area, it was called a colony, because there were Roman citizens, in that foreign country, in that foreign city. And so that city would become a colony of Rome because it had in it some real Roman citizens. Now this city of Philippi, or as we commonly call it Philippi, but that's the same place, this city was the chief city of that part of the country, meaning it was the most prominent place, doubtless a trading center and things like that, and it was a colony. It had Romans in it, which is a way of saying that when Paul started out his missionary work, he went to the most important city in the whole country. That is, he went to the strategic center, to the most important place, and presented the gospel in that place. We can learn something from that. The importance that if we do have the gospel message to deliver, we should go right to the very center of things, and confront the main authorities with what we have to say. That's what he did. And so we read, "They were there in that city abiding certain days." Now, I'm sure that during those certain days they were there, they were looking the situation over. I'm quite satisfied they were studying the city to see what it was like. They were, as we would say in our day and time, we would say they were becoming oriented in that area where they were. But I want you to notice several things. For one thing, for example, they didn't immediately start public services. They did not at once do the full round of public service, which they could and would eventually do. Nor did they make the public claims that they would eventually do. They were strangers, complete strangers. And they were coming into a new situation with a new thing that people there had never heard before. They took it easy, as we would say. They went slow. They abode there certain days, didn't make any move at all. You know they weren't just sitting still. You know they didn't have their eyes shut. It means they were studying the circumstances, I'm quite sure, surveying the situation, becoming oriented in the whole situation as it was. And so we read this down through the 12th verse. Now we come to the 13th verse. "And on the Sabbath, we went out of the city by a riverside, where prayer was wont to be made. We sat down and spake unto the women which resorted thither." Now, in this 13th verse, there are three things that speak to us very plainly. On the Sabbath day, there was a time. When the time came, that's when they went. You see, they were going to preach. They were going to preach about God. Well, the Sabbath day was a day that the Jewish people believed in God, and they would respect the Sabbath day. That was the day he wanted to talk to them. So they waited for the time. And they went out of the city by a riverside where prayer was wont to be made. The usual place for prayer. A prayer meeting spot. So you have a place. And if you add that up together, you will find at the right time and at the right place, they went with their message. This, to my mind, is very, very important. We Christian people know that the gospel we have is from God. We realize the authority comes from Him. We realize no human being can give us the right to preach, and no human being can tell us what to preach. That's inclined to make us almost self-sufficient. And sometimes there are some of us who seem to feel that if we have the gospel in our heart and mind, and we have any kind of an opportunity at all, we ought to go ahead and tell the whole story right then and there, because after all, we know who's telling us to go, and we know what we ought to do. But wait. Even if we do have the gospel which is from God, and we are under orders, as it were, from God and God alone, that doesn't mean we wouldn't use good sense. It may be that God would just lead us to use good sense. Stop to think about it. If a man were doing the will of God, it's just possible that he would send him out at the best time. And if a man were ready to do the will of God, it's just possible he'd send him to the best place. And we find out more than that. We read that they sat down and spake unto the women which resorted thither. So we find also that God led them to speak to the best people. What people? The people that came down there to worship. The people who were already inclined in that direction. All of this is very, very important. Because we do have in the gospel something from God and from God alone, there is a temptation on the part of some of us to be almost arbitrary. We don't care what people think. We know that the Lord called us to preach, so we're going to preach. We know the Lord called us to teach, so we're going to teach. We know the Lord called us to serve Him, so we're going to do what He wants us to do, regardless of what people think. Not so fast. If you are doing what the Lord wants you to do, and you are serving Him as the Lord wants you to serve Him, you will be considerate of what people will think. It doesn't mean they're right, but it means they're people. It means they've got feelings of their own. It means that you can win more people by making friends of them than by making enemies of them. You can catch more flies with sugar than you can with vinegar, if that's the way you want to put it. And I want to tell you, it's my own experience whenever I have an opportunity at all to go fishing. And I've just found out that when you go fishing, you just put out the bait the fish want. You don't put out the bait that you like. You don't put out what looks good to you and what you like to handle. You try to put out what you think they want and the way they like it. And when the Lord God says about us, when the Lord Jesus said to His disciples, "Follow Me, and I will make you fishers of men," all this is included. Believe me, all this is included. A mother who is a fisher for the Lord will use every artful way to get her children to thinking about the things of God graciously, kindly, gently, gladly, willingly. There's no point. You can't get anywhere when you make people mad. You irritate people. That's no help to them. Sometimes one thinks about some parents who just get impatient with the children, and they just tell them what to do in an atmosphere of contention and conflict, and they fuss with them and fight with them and think they're telling them to do the will of God. Not so fast. If you're telling them to do the will of God, then I think you should tell it in the way of doing the will of God. Now, it may be necessary to conflict with them. It may be necessary to differ with them. It may be necessary to break off and not go the way in which they want you to go. But doing the will of God doesn't mean that you couldn't be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. There's a good time, do it then. There's a good place, do it there. And there are good people, talk to them. This is what these men did. On the Sabbath day, there were 7 days in the week, but they waited for the Sabbath day, the day when people paid attention to the things of God. They went out to the city by a riverside where prayer was wont to be made. I'm sure there were more people elsewhere. They could have gone to the marketplace. They could have gone a good many places. But they went down to the riverside, and there was a long river, perhaps. Could have been a good many places. But they went where prayer was wont to be made. And there they talked unto the women which resorted thither. I think one could spend a time on that verse. I was reading the 13th verse in the 16th chapter of the book of the Acts. And I want to tell you, I get to thinking about it, how very, very important this is. And now we'll have time, I think, to notice what happened. A certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshipped God, heard us. Notice that. The one that listened was the one that worshipped God. You see, before we ever start teaching, before we ever start preaching, God's been working on the hearts and minds of those people. I'm not so sure that the gospel's that kind of thing that you can tell it to a man who's never thought about it, and the first time he hears it, win him to the Lord. I'm not sure he knows what he's coming into. I think you need to have time to present these things. I wouldn't doubt it that God can do tremendous things in a moment, but I would think that normally and naturally there is an accumulative significance to this teaching business. And this woman, the first woman that they won there in Philippi, was Lydia, a woman who worshipped God. She was already inclined to doing the will of God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened. Notice that again. Man couldn't do that. Paul couldn't do that. His people who were with him couldn't do that. This is something God could do, and something God did, whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. That's the way it happened. Our God and Heavenly Father, add thy blessing to us as we go out to teach and to preach, and as we try to share the gospel with other people. Help us to do it wisely, and to do it in such a way that other people might be one unto thee, that they may come to believe in thee. So add thy blessing to our hearts and minds as we seek to witness to other people about the Lord. Make us wise in our approach and sensible in what we do, that what we do may contribute to the winning of people. For the Lord's sake, we ask it. Amen.